Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, Book of Matthew, chapter 21. We're going to pick it up here in verse 27 in a moment. Christ has been asked questions. They're trying to tempt him a little bit and trip him up. And he said, I'll tell you what. I will answer that question if you'll answer me one. And he went to the John the Baptist, said, was he really from heaven or was his baptism of men? And the people loved John. And this set up the Pharisees and scribes. They couldn't go on because the very word itself was brought forth by John, and the people loved him. They would have disrespected them highly. So they were very upset at him because he had cleaned out the sanctuary to start with. I mean, threw out the money changers. And though he's performing many miracles, they're still trying to set him up. So when they would not answer his question about John, he picks it up then in verse 27 of Matthew 21. Let's go with it with the word of wisdom from our Father. 27 reads, and they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. We don't know whether it was from heaven or men. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things, by what authority I clean my house, by what authority I throw out the money changers, and so forth. Verse 28. But he continues on. He doesn't stop there. But what think ye, he says, a certain man had two sons. And he came to the first, and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. 29, and he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. Verse 30, and he came to the second, and he said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Didn't do anything. Verse 31, whither of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. In other words, they proved they knew the law. They documented the fact that they knew the law well, but it's not what they acted upon. And that's why he's saying, he's the Messiah, and they're turning him down when publicans and sinners are coming to him for healing and loving him and following him, and they're doing nothing but getting in the way. Verse 32, he continues then, for John came into you the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. In other words, he documented it by the miracles and what transpired. You knew the law. You observed it happening. But then you wouldn't believe him even after you had seen it when the publicans and sinners did and were converted. Verse 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. I mean, it was all fixed up. You had everything, the wine press, the watchtower, the vineyard in good shape. Verse 34, and when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. This is kind of like sharecropping here in this country today. The owner of the land usually will get one third of the crop and furnishing the land and the seed, and the sharecropper does the planting, cultivating, and gathering for two thirds of the crop. 35, and the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. In other words, they kept persecuting and killing the prophets that God would send. 39. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. And of course, this brings us up to the prophet John, the last of the prophets, so to speak, that would come before the Savior at the beginning of the first advent. Verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. That's Messiah, of course. 38. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come and let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Let's take it in. And in this parable, what is Christ having reference to? Psalms 2. Psalms 2 is where he's quoting from here, basically. They kill, they take. Psalms 2 would read, you're not going to have it, I'll read it for you. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They won't hear miracles, they won't hear of our Father. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. They go against Christianity. They go against our Heavenly Father. The rulers do. Verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's clean up the mess. Verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. It's coming. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And that's coming to pass quickly. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That would be Christ, of course, the Savior. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And he's heir of all, Savior of all. Ask of me, and I shall give them the heathen nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. They're not going to. Not at this time, they're certainly not. It would seem they're going exactly the opposite direction. Many of them even denying there is a God that would lead people into a anti-godless affair. You can almost see this in France today, where they have elected a socialist president. And he's putting 75% taxation on the wealthy. Not that many of them left there. You'll see a nice show there. But God's word comes to pass as it's written. You're warned. The thing is, you want to believe it. It's going to happen the way God stipulates. 39. And they caught him, that is to say the son, and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. They crucified him. 40. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And he asked them the question, what would he do? Do you know what they answered? You wouldn't hardly believe it, but listen. 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Isn't it strange? They could not see that they were the wicked men. But they knew the law, and that makes them accountable twofold. Verse 42. And saith unto them, did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. this is the Lord's doing. And it is a marvelous, it is marvelous in our eyes. And of course, he's quoting Psalms 118 here, as before. We covered it the other day, that the chief cornerstone would become a stumbling block. Why? Well, many people are not taught the false Christ comes first. As simple as that is, they are taught rather they're going to fly away and won't have anything to do with it. Well, they're not flying anywhere. That's not biblical. They make that up. And the false Christ comes first. And his message is, I'm going to fly you out of here. And they're going to jump right in bed with him because they have not been taught the Word of God. They've been taught the traditions of men that make void the Word of God. And they cannot see many times. That's why there's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. Good Christian people misled. But Psalms 118, verse 22, that's where he would come in and make that entry. This son. And he would become a stumbling block because the false Christ comes first. And many that love the Messiah and have not been taught that the false Christ comes first. I mean, he comes at the sixth trump. Christ doesn't return until the seventh. It's biblical. It's written in the book of Revelations. A child can count from 1 to 7. And surely any child, when it's written 3 times that Satan comes at the sixth vial, sixth seal, sixth trump, that 6 comes before 7, which is the second advent when Christ returns. You don't have to be even the sharpest blade in the drawer to know that. It's there. It's written. But they would prefer to listen to some soothsayer crying in the night. Verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. God brings forth from a nation that is a producer of truth. Verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them to powder. And what he has quoted here is Isaiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 14. I'm going to read it to you. You won't have it. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In other words, Christ will be a trap in that sense, that if you don't follow up on your homework and realize the fate comes first. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. What? By traditions of men. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among your disciples. Those that teach it, let them teach God's law as it is written, where people are not deceived. And verse 17 to continue. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. I'm going to search the word. I'm going to find his truth. I'm not going to listen to what the heathen might say. Verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. One more verse. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? In other words, why would you listen to some ratchet jaw that doesn't teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you know what's happening around you? You'd rather go hear some peeper. Okay. Well, it just makes me feel good. Well, document him in the Word of God. A peeper will find you right where you shouldn't be if you're not careful. And I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying it is written, and that's what Christ is coming down on these people with. It's written. Have you read it? And he quotes the Old Testament, of course, because that's where the warning comes from. Let's go with the next verse, please. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Uh-oh, bingo. They finally wake up that they are wicked. Verse 46. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. They couldn't react. Just a few of them in relationship, but, you know, it doesn't take too many misleading a mob that is ignorant of God's word that can cause much trouble. But when there is a group that believes, they will stand up for Christ. They will put their feet right where they should be to document that Christ is Lord. And we believe him and trust him. We know the false Christ comes first, and we know, as we'll find out in the 24th chapter of this great book, that our destiny is to stand against him, not to speak ourselves, but to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, whereby the ignorant will have an opportunity to learn the real truth directly from the Holy Spirit when the false Christ is already here. What a shame it will be to not know in time, to not be deceived by him. You see, spiritually, you're no longer a virgin if you worship the false one. Spiritually speaking, you're not fit for the marriage that's about to take place when Christ returns. You're just not fit. And you might say, well, why would that be? Because you were in the sack with Satan before the true Christ came. Why would he want you? What kind of wedding garment do you have? This next chapter will just explain that to you. Chapter 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, saying, 2. The kingdom of heaven, that's the king and his dominion in heaven, is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Verse 3, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And naturally, this is John the Baptist gave the warning that he was coming and so forth. But this would be the first advent, but we're going to switch over into the second here in a little bit. Verse 4, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. And all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. Just too busy. Verse 6. And the remnant, and this is where took his servants. This would be the Kenites. This is where remnant is used in the negative. And entreated them spitefully and slew them. Verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And of course, that would be Babylon. And Babylon's going down. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And that would be the first advent. Verse 9. Go ye therefore unto the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. And so it is. Who is ready for that marriage? You know where you find it? You find it in the 19th chapter of the great book of Revelation. And you find it in verse 7 of that chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, whoa, he didn't say bride here. His wife hath made herself ready. His wife was chosen from the first earth age. not his bride. His bride comes from those who wear the right robe. But his wife will definitely, is already married to him, was chosen before the foundations of this earth. Well, read on then, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clear and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That's to say, set aside ones. You want to take part in that wedding? You better have the righteous acts that weave the robe that allows you to participate in that wedding, or you're out. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And certainly they are. I don't know, many of you are called to that wedding and you're going to participate, and you've got the righteous acts that have woven that fine spiritual linen whereby you're well dressed and prepared for that wedding. But the beauty of it is, for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, the wife will assist. The wife will be there. She's already arrayed. And so it is. And what a happy time that's going to be. So, returning then to the book of Matthew, we pick it up in the next verse, verse 10. So, those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, what does that mean, the bad and the good, after they repented? They were told, repent and come to the wedding. Change your life and live up to it. And they do. They do it every day, preparing themselves for that marriage feast. Verse 11, and when the king, and the wife is the one, that is to say God's elect, are the ones that pretty well plant those seeds. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Uh-oh, and there you have it. Again, the reason I took you to that 19th chapter of Revelation, what is that wedding garment? It is woven from fine linen, which consist of your righteous acts. That means serving God, following God, listening to His Word, studying His Word, and being a part of the family. Otherwise, you don't have that garment. And if you don't have that garment, you're not going through the first resurrection at all, period. That's why there's going to be gnashing of teeth, because there's a lot of people that have spent their entire life sitting on a church pew and were never, good people, never ever taught that the false Christ comes first, as it is written over and over and over in God's Word, leaving them hung out to dry because the Word was not taught to them chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby the clarity of the simplicity in which Christ teaches would abound and come forth for the ears of the people. That fine linen is something you can work on every day simply by letting Him know you love Him. That's a very righteous act, is letting God know you love Him and what all He's done for you. Verse 12, what happened to him? And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Why, he was disappointed, didn't know what to say. No one had ever warned him. And certainly his righteous acts didn't exist. Well, I wanted to be politically correct and go to hell. That's what happens to a lot of people that prefer political correctness over morality's correctness. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. You throw him in there with the devil. He's the prince of darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And certainly there will be. 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. You know how sad it is that, as I stated before, I get certainly no joy from the fact that there are a lot of really good people that have been misled into thinking they're saved, not warned that Satan himself comes first as the spurious Messiah. And they are ignorant, so naturally they're going to worship him thinking it is Christ. That's why it's written in Mark 13, mother shall betray daughter to death and the father the son. Why? Because Satan's name is death, Hebrews 2:14, death, which is to say Satan. They're going to be delivered. They'll worship Satan thinking he's Christ. And when you make a stand against the false one, knowing who he is, they're going to turn you in. Because they're going to say, Jesus, have mercy on my child. And he'll say, the false Christ will say, bring them to me. And that's when the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Many of you have a destiny and a purpose. And you have that righteous robe, the righteous acts. But the greatest act of the elect in these end times is their destiny, which is to witness against the false one by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through him, them, both sons and daughters, as it is written in Acts chapter 2, in Joel chapter 2, and in Mark 13, in Luke 21, and in Matthew 24. All those places, witnesses of a destiny for God's elect. And next verse, please, to complete. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Now, that would be like some little ant trying to tug a bale of hay, okay? I mean, can you imagine that, a mortal man trying to entangle the living Word of God right before them? They haven't got a prayer. Not a prayer. Verse 16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. That's your politicians. Oh, and we got to bring along the politicians this time. Let's play a little politics. Saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. You're not a respecter of persons. Hey, that's just about right. You know, they're cutting it right down the line. But that's the main trick of Satan. Don't you ever forget it. The first thing Satan will do to you is to tell you what a nice person you are and how great you are, how wise you are, and what a really good understanding person you are. And he's pumping you up. Okay. They're lying. They're lying to themselves. The words are true. He was exactly. His name is truth. And yet at the same time, that's like the little ants tugging the bale of hay. They're about to sink themselves. That old trick won't cut it with he that became the living Word and walked among us. 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Question. Now, you see, they're trying to set him up because Rome was very particular about you got to pay your taxes. And they're trying to nail him that he's claiming to be a king and replace Caesar, which would cause the Romans to come down on him. That's what they're thinking. Verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness long before the fact, and he said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Hypocrites in the Greek means you play actors. You're play acting. You're not really religious people. You're not serving God. You're play actors. Verse 19, which was quite an insult to them. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. They're still trying to set him up. What a joke. Verse 20, and he saith unto them, whose is the image and superscription? Who is on this coin? Whose picture is it? And what is the name? 21. And they say unto him, Caesar's. And then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. It's your soul, your very being, and your love. You render that to God, and God doesn't send out beggars. He's not all that shook up, but he does have the tithing set up. But only in this sense, you're not going to always pay your taxes, stay legal, whereby the government must protect your right to teach God's word. It's that simple. Never let anyone entangle you or trick you like the Pharisees did here or attempted to. He made it very simple, whereby no one would have any difficulty understanding that you're not going to entrap Christ. He's the word. Nor will anyone ever trick you or set a trap for you if you understand the word of God, because you automatically, in knowing the word of God and his plan, escape the hour of temptation, which will be the hour that takes many people down. They're going to be here, and it will take them down. So, of all things, you can't be tempted by Satan. We find him to be an abomination. How many that love the Lord or think they do, and yet listen to men and their traditions and will be deceived, they also love the Lord. And then to make this terrible mistake of receiving the first Messiah that comes along, which is the false Christ. When we get to the 24th chapter, we will make that very clear to you. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman Gog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We will not judge anyone. We have a judge. It's our Father. He's very adequate in doing that. He's got him in the book. It's written in the book of life. You don't have to judge him. It's already jotted there, okay? But you do have the right for spiritual discernment, which is to say, giving you a gift from God that lets you know truth from fiction. And that's a beautiful gift. You gain it by wisdom from his word. It'll do it every time. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request? You don't need the number or an address. Why? Well, God knows what you're thinking right now. He created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Why? He wanted somebody just like you. So therefore, let him know you love him, because he sure loves you. You make his day. Boy, is he going to make yours. And let's just go to his throne. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. touch. In Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. This would be Neil from Wisconsin. Please tell me if I'm correct. In the first Earth Age, dinosaurs were here in their flesh, but we were in our spirit bodies. That is why there are no human fossils to be found with the animals. That's correct. That's correct. We have the footprint behind, because the spiritual body even is a mass. What sustains the spiritual body is called manna. That's angel's food. It will also sustain this body. Why? Because we're made in that same image, only we're flesh and they are not. They're in spiritual bodies. But it looks the same, only it's in a different dimension. Sheila from Kentucky. The God in the Old Testament was this Jesus. Well, the names Yahweh and Yeshua. Yeshua is Jesus. But what it is, it's his duties. Yahweh is a word that means I am that I am. He will be whoever he wishes to be. Wherever he wishes to be, that better said. But Yeshua is Yahweh's Savior. He had to create this Son, the only begotten, whereby he was in this dimension where we could see him, and brought that word right to us so that we would have the exact word direct from the mouth of the Savior. Not from what some man might say here, there, or yon, but I mean from the man. And therefore, leaving no one without excuse. For he walked among us in our dimension whereby we could see him and observe his miracles, and so it is. Anne from Virginia. I was reading the book of John, and it said the disciple that the Lord loved. What disciple was it? It was John. John really loved the Father, and the Father loved him. The Father and John loved the Lord Jesus Christ, followed him. And God would use John to write not only St. John, but the three epistles, short epistles of John, plus the book of Revelation from the Isle of Patmos in about 95 A.D. So the Lord sure loved him. He could count on him. He produced. Everett from Arizona. Where in the Bible does it say olive oil is used? Well, probably the simplest place would be James chapter 5, where it says if you're ill or have problems, call the elders and let them anoint you with olive oil, the oil of our people. And but even you can go back to, we'll be getting there soon, Matthew chapter 25, where you have 10 virgins, and five of them have oil in their lamp, and that oil is Eloyah, it's olive oil, okay, that would burn in the lamp. And that's why it is the oil of our people. It is not what heals you, but it is your obedience in using it as anointing. And many might say, well, I didn't know Christians anointed. And you would show your ignorance if you did. And I'm not talking to Everett strictly, but anybody that didn't understand. Christ, Christos, means the anointed one. So naturally, you anoint in his name, and God hears. Samantha from Florida. I would like to know how to stay with my faith because I am always unsure. Well, you know, your faith, the most important thing is that you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I hope you don't have trouble remembering that or believing that. That's what faith grows from. It unlocks many doors. And when you're unsure of yourself, many people will say, well, I can't remember all of God's Word. Well, nobody can. That's why he gave us the letter, so that we can study the letter and recall when it's necessary to certain passages. So what am I saying? Study God's Word. Get close to him. It is his Word. It's his letter to you. And you will grow closer and closer to him. Talk to him. Okay? Don't read some written prayer. Talk to him from the heart. He loves it. Mildred, and I don't know where Mildred's from. My husband is on disability. When the Antichrist comes, will this be affected and how we should prepare? Well, you know, it's always good to have a pantry that's in pretty good shape. God always takes care of his own. Don't even sweat it. Just take care of yourselves. You'll do fine. Tom from California. How long is the Song of Moses? Is it just verse 10? No, it's the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and it goes from verse 1 to 43. 1 through 43. What it is, it's as it would, as it is stipulated in the 15th book of chapter of Revelation, that those that overcome the Antichrist and all his deceiving of the world are singing that Song of Moses. Why? Because the Song of Moses tells you how to not be deceived by the Antichrist. That's way back in the Old Testament. So many people have memorized that song. You're going to sing it anyway in the spiritual body, but you at least want to cover the whole psalm so that you know what's going down and how it's going to come to fruition. Gilbert from Nevada, what is the Hebrew name for the Lord in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 19? It's all uppercase, is Yahweh. Yahweh. Okay, Misty from Tennessee. Is John and St. John the same person? Now, there's more than one John. Okay. So we have John the Baptist. John the Baptist and St. John are two different people. Okay. But John of the book of St. John and John of the epistles of John the St. John of the book of Revelation are all one person. The disciple Christ loved, right? He could get it done. Jesus so loved him that he even had him take his mother away at the cross. You know, now that shows you his love for him. He trusted him to take his mother and protect her. Nancy from New York. I'm enjoying watching your teaching about the Bible. I watch every morning before I go to work, and I am learning more than ever. Question, tell me where to look to find this verse. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I have a coworker who does not believe in spanking her child. Well, Nancy, you'll find it in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. You also find in Hebrews chapter 12 where Father, if he loves you, uses it on us. Emily from Virginia. The house of Israel is made up of 10 tribes. The house of Judah, one tribe. I'm somewhat confused as to what the 11th tribe ended up. I missed? The tribe of Levi is intermixed equally in all the tribes. Donna from Florida. Pastor, what is the four hidden dynasties? You will find the four hidden dynasties in the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Those four horns, what do they consist of? They consist of the four powers that Satan uses and his little Kenites. That is to say, the political, financial, the educational, and last but not least, religion. Satan uses religion big time. And there'll be some say, well, I never heard of Satan using religion. Well, how do you think Christ was tempted by Satan? By Scripture. He's a Scripture lawyer. You learned that back in chapter 4. That Satan can quote that scripture better than most Christians can. Jan from Tennessee. Proverbs 1:20, who is the she? If I remember correctly, it's wisdom. And she is referred to as a she, and many think, well, it's because women are wiser than he's. Okay. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm going to hold my fire on it. But I will call her, as the eighth Proverbs is written from her very mouth, wisdom. Wisdom speaks, and it's real good if you listen. So cover that eighth chapter. It goes all the way back to the first earth age when all the souls were created at one time and so forth. Wisdom was there with God in the beginning. All wisdom comes from Him. Annie from Ohio. Pastor, does God talk to people? When I was younger, my mom was ill, and I heard a man's voice say, "I will take care of your mom and you too. This was around noon. As she passed away about 2 hours after, I heard him. There was no one in that hallway but me and that water fountain." God has a way of protecting people and giving you comfort. And it happens. Jacqueline from Alabama. "I brought a light of the World Edition Bible. It was a picture of Jesus in Boston door, copyright 1954, by the World Publishing Company. It is written to the old world writing. Are you familiar with this Bible?" It's a good publication, okay? Good Bible. As a matter of fact, likewise, this one. It's by the same publisher. Craig from Nevada. "Second Earth Age, we are born," and let me hasten to add, this is just a standard King James Bible. Craig, so is the world publisher. "Second Earth Age, are we all born from women?" Let me start over. Craig from Nevada. "Second Earth Age, we are born from women and received a human body. And at the time the silver cord breaks from that moment, do we have our new body?" Absolutely. You have it with you already. The spiritual body dwells within this flesh body. Okay. But it departs. You see, your soul, I would rather translate it yourself. Whichever body you're in, that soul goes with you. And that soul has a spirit. And your spirit is the intellect of your soul. You could even say it's what you're judged by, your intellect and how you have used wisdom. Ed from Michigan. "A question for the pastor. Between the sixth and seventh trump, will Shepherd's Chapel be interfered with? Bless all of you." Well, between the sixth and the seventh, everybody's going to participate. Let's hope that we're still here, but it isn't important because that's the time God's elect will be delivered up and the Holy Spirit will speak through them. Those trials will be televised around the world. So the word of God will go forth like never before, out of the mouths of babes, so to speak. That is to say, they're not doing the talking. Christ is through them. Our Heavenly Father is through them, the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to worry about that. That's going to be, when that sixth trump comes, it's a battle day, spiritually speaking. Melissa from Virginia. "I was wondering about animals. I've had them all my life, and I'd like to know what happens to cats, dogs when they die. I had two die lately, and one was 21 year old. That is old for a dog's life. If it's in the Bible, a preacher tells me animals won't be with us again." Well, your preacher, I'm sorry, he lacks. He's never read Isaiah chapter 11 and many other places, but God loves his animals. There's just one thing. They're in spiritual bodies also, as Isaiah 11 stipulates, and there are no carnivores. They're very peaceful. A child can play on the hole of a snake. The snake won't bite him. We're in spiritual beings. God loves his animals. He did in the first earth age. He does in this one, and he will the one to come. Laura from California. "Good day to you. My son and my grandfather have passed away a few years ago. I have been praying about moving to the state where my one living son is located. I had a dream in which my grandfather came to me and told me that I needed to do what I needed to do. In the dream, my son was also there. He was wearing a shirt that had the numbers 24:17 on it. I knew it was from the Bible, so I prayed that the Lord would give me the message. I realized then it was Matthew. Can you please give me the translation for the following verse? Matthew chapter 24, verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. It simply means that after you see the son of perdition, that's the Antichrist standing in Jerusalem, you don't have time to move anywhere. You don't have time to pack a bag. You see, the rooftop is where the watchman sits, and you are a watchman. You're watching for those events to transpire. And he was probably just giving you a warning to be a real good watchman, and you would know when it all transpired. MZ from Minnesota. I heard a man say that when we are born as a little baby, we are miserable sinners. How ridiculous can that be? That is ridiculous. Also, he said that sin is in our DNA. Is this true? It's absolutely not true. Okay. Why does he think that children are not judged until they come to the age of accountability? They're innocent. Did Jesus drive the little children away? No, he said, don't prevent them. You bring them to me. Satan is what makes us bad. We're bad enough on our own, but he's the one that plants the seeds and puts minds and lust and so forth. He's a great pusher of it, let's put it that way. Some people just have bad spirits. What is the time of Jacob's trouble? It's at the end when the Antichrist is here and we testify and witness against him all the way through. What a time that's going to be. I don't think we're all that far away from that time. Tara from Oregon. I recently was introduced to the Anointed Reference Bible, King James Version, the Dake. I have been for many years in search of God's true teachers, which I believe you are delivering. Would you please tell me what you know about the Dake? Is it a good writing of God's Word? I am so thankful for the blessings and finding someone really teaching the truth and for your helping me to understand the Lord's true meanings of His Word. Thank you. Terry, the Dakes is a good, it's a good Bible. It does kind of favor the rapture and a few other things that are untrue. But Dake did a pretty good thing. It is obvious to a student of God's Word that he took from Dr. Bullinger's work and created his Bible in large, large part. Okay? That's why I, naturally, if I were to say I recommend the Companion Bible, I could say I can sure go along with the Dakes. It is a good work. But why not go to the horse's mouth rather than someone that kind of followed a student from it? That's all your choice. The manuscripts are still pretty accurate in the Dakes. His commentary, if it has to do with rapture, you better be careful. Okay, Ebony from Georgia. Hi, I hope all is well with you. Well, it is. I would like to thank you for reading right out of the good book. You are the best pastor I've ever heard. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. How can I tell if God still loves me? I have been having bad times in my life. I know I should be happy. He still has me here with life, but it's been hard. Well, it can be hard. But you look up, your Redeemer draweth nigh. Okay. And I want you to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I always recommend this. There's nothing happening to you that doesn't happen to everybody just about, off and on. But God will never allow you to be burdened over what you can handle, because you can cut it. You're a daughter of the living God, a woman of Israel, and you can get it done. But He will always show you a way out, okay? That's the important part. Hang tough. Teresa from Arkansas, if you have sinned in the past, can you still be saved? Well, of course. There wouldn't be anyone saved if there was not repentance for sins in the past, because everybody falls short of the glory of God. All you've got to do is to repent and mean it. What is the repentance? It's to have a change of heart mind and to love the Father and to thank Him for the fact that He forgives you. And then you've got a clean slate. You can't con Him. You've got to be sincere. Virginia from Michigan, are we to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in this day? And if so, how do we do this? Well, we call it the Fall Fellowship, okay? And it's a beautiful time. It's the beginning of the civil year on the God's calendar. Gene from Oregon, if someone claims they are the Messiah and I am still in the flesh body, would it be right or wrong to ask him if he is the real Messiah? I think it would be considered quite wrong, okay, because you're going to know. When you see the real one, you'll be in a spiritual body. If you're in a flesh body, it's Antichrist, and if I were you, I wouldn't ask him anything. Don't argue with Satan. You'll lose if you're not careful. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It's His letter to you, and He wants you to absorb it. You make His day. Boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yahshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying.